Hi, my name is Jim Murchison, and you are listening to The Movie Raid.
It's time for The Movie Raid. Tonight's victim is actor Jim Murchison, as played in My Bloody Valentine. Hello.
Hi there, Mike.
What have we been up to? I know you've had the reunion of My Bloody Valentine cast, the original one.
It has been 40 years, and for the first 20, we thought nobody remembered the film. We were a guilty pleasure in the UK and Australia, of course across US and Canada. A tremendous boost to this film. People that weren't born when we shot it are now watch it almost monthly, some even more than that. It's allowed us to become invited to get together, which we'd like to do anyway, as a cast, and reunite. It's kind of like old home week, college reunion, high school reunion, all in one. I think it probably would have made more money and had more interest in a sequel or a franchise if it had been more bloody, because it is called My Bloody Valentine, so most people that go to see it are looking for some blood in their Valentine, you know? As George called it when it came out, and he was forced to cut out almost every bit of the kills to avoid getting an X rating. Many years later, he called it My Anemic Valentine. He's happy that the restoration has been done, and I'm sure Tom Berman and Berman Studios are happy that their work is now on full exhibit as well.
Now, having to be involved with this particular film, discovering like characters past and current, do you feel this could give like a new level of respect after for so long in this kind of performance for this type of genre and type of film? The motivation, do you feel that you get a newfound level of respect in terms of future work?
Well, you know, it's funny because there is the respect for this among fans of the genre has just exponentially grown and grown every year. I didn't even know that they found the scenes and they were playing one night at the Bloor Cinema, and I got a friend request from a guy in Australia named Barry Dominey Jr. asking me if I was going to the big reunions. And then there was the article in the Lunch Meet interviews where Quentin Tarantino said, you know, I think I like Halloween, and I liked, of course, Friday the 13th and that, but he says, as time has gone on, my favorite slasher, I think, has to be My Bloody Valentine. He actually wrote the composer Paul Zaza and had him send a copy of the closing song. Paul Gallo or some of his other directing friends could sing along with it. He'd have these parties. Those lost scenes certainly didn't hurt. And at the big virtual reunion we had last week, something I've known about for a number of years is that George would very much like to do a movie called Valentine's Wake that is focused on the surviving characters and their children 40 years later. He was telling everybody, just ask for it, because it'll make it easier to get it. Fortunately for George, but unfortunately for us, he's committed to filming in Hungary for the next 2 years, so it'll be probably 3 years before anybody would see the actual return to Valentine Bluffs and the rediscovery of what that city has become after all of the trauma that's hit it. A lot of us have gone off in different directions. Sam, also known as Rob Stein, he goes by a different name in the States, but he was a voiceover artist for the Turner Broadcasting Network for about a dozen years, and then Neil went back to animation, which is what he originally started with. Neil Affleck went from actor to animator and worked for years on The Simpsons and Family Guy before he came back to Toronto and started doing other projects up here. And Tom Kovach, the last film he did was My Bloody Valentine, and he only did two or three. Went into music. He's kind of a traveling troubadour, and he does an online music show. So for a lot of us, it's not the hard-on path we're on anymore. I mean, I do theater whenever I can, but that's kind of got the kibosh on it with COVID. I would certainly love to do anything with George in this cast if it does come to fruition. And some people are excited about that possibility, so I hope it happens. But, you know, there's never a sure thing in the film industry until it's in the can and distributed.
Do you feel like this particular film in this particular era in terms of horror, do you feel like this was a form of improvement in the slasher genre, or do you think that the audience made this happen, at least over the course of the years, after the release?
Growing interest of the audience that definitely has driven this. I'll tell you, when the reviews came out for this film, New York Times said just when you thought the horror genre couldn't get any lower, it gets 2,000 feet lower, literally. This is a piece of, basically, they trashed us. The previews with Siskel and Ebert. We were their dog of the week. Why would anybody appear in this movie? Well, these actors have no respect, self-respect, crazy things. When I look back, some other films in the genre, there was a lot of care, particularly by George and the producers, to make this a little different than the young, privileged college kids. It was still young people that were getting slaughtered, but they were working class people, and you wanted to get a really working class vibe to it and take it out of the preppy sort of thing. And the original script that Rob Stein had, which was about 20 minutes longer, of course, you cut to make it a certain length so that you keep the suspense going in theater. But in the original one, I was described as an apprentice miner. Some scenes, I think, one scene that was in the mine. Once they got the final cut of this script, though, there was nothing that I had to do in the film that ever got cut. Every scene was kind of essential and nice. But to get back to the original question, it's definitely just a profound love of the fans that has made this film. The things that people know about it, the questions they ask, they're all very informed. They've studied all sorts of things. That the amount of people like Kyle Evans, Scholar, and Fergus Moda, and some others that actually do the cons and do the cosplay sort of thing, their recreations of the character are so precise, from Kohler wheat mask to the right filter to pack, and then the right dungarees, you know, and the right helmet and everything. They are, and the pickaxe, the amount of reverence that they have to this character. And so people see them doing these things and may have not even seen the movie. There's now one called Valentine Bluffs, a fan film that they're prepping that looks just amazing. Everything that keeps it alive, you know, it's much bigger than it was when it came out. Much, much bigger. And part of that is that the critics have better things to do than sort of piss on the genre, you know. Now, there are some people I know that prefer the sort of supernatural, unkillable sort of character, and they're disappointed that it's Axel in the end, and there's other people just say, oh, great, I love it that it's that, and that's just a matter of taste, really, you know? When I first knew I wanted to audition for it, I was an actor in Montreal. I had quite a large role in a film a year before under the name James Murchison. I'm an IMDb as James Murchison and Jim Murchison. The films I did as James Murchison are pretty crappy. The two things, the credits I've got on IMDb under Jim Murchison were both, I was very happy with both of them. It's not also an inclusive work of everything I did either, of course. The mine had a sense to it, and George steeped us in going into that mine. All the men went into a real working mine and saw what it was to work there and felt the exhaustion of being covered in dust. Even though we weren't doing the work, it was totally exhausting to go down in the dark. And when you come up, you shower and you party. So the characters in the show, they had like two speeds. One was party, and the other was fight for your life. For Axel, it was, and TJ, it was fighting over the girl. For Hollis, Keith Knight, it was trying to keep order. But the rest of the time, we all wanted to party. It's when things get serious, then you buckle down. I think that's where most of the real performances lie. Because the rest of the time, it's kind of what the cast was doing all the time when they were off camera anyway. We were always cutting it up and having, you know, we actually went out and played pool together. We actually went out and watched the movie Pinball Summer with some people may know that four of the cast were in George's first movie, Pinball Summer, and we went to, it was playing in the theater when we were shooting My Bloody Valentine. So we all went out together and watched it. Rob Stein and Tom Kovach and Ellen Udy and Carl Marat were all in it. So we watched the movie in this little small town. We come out, and of course some people knew us from being around town at the hotels and that, and I think every man in Sydney Mines, the real town we were in, we go to each other's rooms and watch movies. We were just always together because none of us were actually living in Sydney Mines. That's the beauty of a location shoot, you know. You form some real strong friendships.
Now, was that hard for you to actually prepare for your role, even though this wasn't exactly the main arc of the story itself in terms of attached to the main characters? Try to prepare, like, what if you were the victim?
Part of the whole secret title. And George deliberately kept that just a bunch of really good friends in a small town that worked hard and played hard. 40 years later, talk to each other, see each other. That sort of friendship was really made it easy to do that part of the role. The part where I think I had to do the most preparation was my final scene, where I just had the shit scared out of me. My best friend has had his face boiled in with all the hot dogs back at the mine, and I found out that Sylvia is dead. And right now I only know two people are dead, but none of us know about Happy or Mabel, because that was kept from us, and the rest of the people are stuck in the mine, and there's none of us know about the woman at the very beginning of the film that gets pickaxed from her back and it comes out through her heart tattoo there. But I found two of my friends dead, and I have to go back and save everything. So sometimes I think maybe I was over the top with it, but the genre lends itself to hyperbole anyway. So, I mean, it's pretty gruesome when you think of it. How does any of us know how we're going to react if we find our best friends skewered on a shower head or stuffed in a refrigerator, you know? That was my big scene, and that was kind of like theater. Though you can't see it in the film, a lot of the town of Sydney Mines was there to watch that scene. They knew there was a movie shooting, but we were usually inside a bar or under the ground. This is the first chance for any of the townspeople to see what a scene from this movie. So the production assistants had them all off to the side, just out of camera range. And then Dwayne McLean was the stunt driver. He would come fishtailing down the road, and I was set just to the left of Rodney Gibbons' camera. He was the director of photography. So they had an apple box set there, and they put a broom handle in it. And Dwayne had the fishtail in the El Camino wearing my jacket, and then stopped 4 inches in front of the broom handle, opened the door, which in the final shot is completely out of frame, but they thought in case it might be in frame, you'd see his body come out. Then I ran around the front of the car and carried the scene on and had to be full panic, crying and blubbering, but a little more in control than I had. I've got a job to do. That was the scene I really remember being to myself and kind of alone before I ran on camera, because it required more focus than, gee, you can't cancel the dance now, or, yeah, party in the mind, man, what a blast, because that's kind of what we're all doing anyway. But that last scene, that took some prep, and I wanted my voice to crack a little bit when I called to the chief, but I wanted to still have a sort of an import and a control to it. So that one is probably the one I put the most really deliberate thought in. The rest of the time, it was so funny, because we would be, you know, when we were doing the party scene, Keith would be juggling over here, Alf would be talking to everybody. Alf, who played Howard, is just like on a set. Both of them unfortunately are no longer with us. First of the young cast to go, and we miss them a lot. These friendships, now I lost track of Keith. I wish that he had survived to see these reunions. He would have been a blast at them. He's such a nice guy, true friends, you know. I've never separated the friendships and the acting experience as well, and the film experience. They're all blended together to me now, 40 years later. I remember as clear as a day doing some scenes, but I also remember taking a van and going up the Cabot Trail and going to a bakery, you know, on the cliffs of Cape Breton. And I remember going for walks with Rob and Rory. And as we meet so much, all of those experiences come back together and trigger memories. Oh, yeah, right, we did that too. You know, it's kind of an amazing gift that the fans have given us by loving it enough that we get to go back and just talk and do this stuff.
Yeah, go ahead and plug in anything that you want to promote regarding to My Bloody Valentine or anything that you're involved with that we can check out right now.
Certainly the 40th Annual Review, which is on the George A. Romero Foundation YouTube page and Twitter page. The Valentine Bluffs fan film has a Facebook page. You might want to join that. I said that looks like it's going to be really interesting. I would absolutely, absolutely love it if George's vision of Valentine Wakes gets the last little bit of backing to be produced, and we have a closure piece to the story of My Bloody Valentine that would involve Sarah and Nia and Axel, who did survive, and TJ and their children, and me and my children, and Rob Stein as John. Heard a lot about it, this film, because George and the cast and I have talked about it, but George never talked about it publicly until this 40th anniversary reunion. And there's two of them. There's one with just the cast, and then for people that like the technical stuff, there's one with George and producer Bob Presner, cameraman Rodney Gibbons, composer Paul Zaza, production manager Kathy Wolf. Those are fun to watch if you're a real fan of the film. friends. Keep loving us because we love you and we love the conventions and we love the opportunity. Very humbling to know how many people like it.
There you have it, everybody. That is actor Jim Murchison.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope everybody's doing well out there and we're on the other side of this pandemic so we can meet in person again soon.